Before this meeting's over, if we ever offer him personal sacrifice, the ministry of the word will begin to loose our total future. I promise you, this is not religion. This is Jesus' church, his body on the earth. We're not talking about a religion. We're talking about a Christ who came in flesh to represent the great universal power that keeps the stars in place. If he can keep the stars in place, I promise you what you're facing is vulnerable to his power. I wish we'd just praise him. Just offer us a little more music. And you choose the sacrifice. And if you need to go back and read them so that you can make him happy. Because it's not making me happy and it's not making the singers happy. It is getting the approval of God by the sacrifice of praise. Clap your hands, all you peoples, what he says. Praise the Lord with a loud voice. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. But let everything that hath breath offer a sacrifice of praise. What you don't feel like doing, do it anyhow. Not to me, but under the blood-stained cross that's now empty. But he carried with him victory over every demon, victory over every sickness, victory over every doubt, over every fear. The master of life is in the house tonight to break the yoke, to unloose your kids, to unloose your neighbor.
Come on, continue praising him. Come on, clap your hands, all ye lands. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, that's the word. That's the word. Hallelujah. It's in services like this where lives can be changed. It's in services like this where your bodies can be healed. Come on, I've seen people come out of wheelchairs when we were just praising him. I seen a lady, I got her on video. She hadn't walked in 15 years, and we began to praise, and she started right, she jumped up out of that wheelchair. And I go back to this church every year. I was there last year. She's from Jamaica. She said, Brother Nick, still no wheelchair. All because of praise. I'm so thankful. Where'd everybody go? All right. I know I didn't sing that well, but I didn't know it was that bad. F or G, it may be G, but we'll start with that. It's an old song. G. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond. where the saved of earth shall soon his glory share. And the souls of men are gonna enter and live on forevermore. 'Cause everybody will be happy over there. I said everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we're gonna shout and we're gonna sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Well, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing around the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And all the Christians of ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. I said now everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. I said we will shout, we're gonna sing God's praises, everybody. Here's what I like. Where they will meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. I'm gonna praise his name forever as I look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, I said now everybody, come on, you know it, will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and we'll sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Well, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing round that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Well, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and we'll sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Now, I was talking with my brother before church, and then Brother Meyer had me go in his office. I don't last long in little rooms, so I got out of there. And I was looking at all those pictures, C.P. Kilgore, all those old pioneers that came through this part of Texas. I've heard their stories when I was a kid. They would work in the fields all day long, and they'd have a brush arbor set up somewhere. And long about evening time, I have been told. Now, see, my wife's a fifth generation apostolic. That's what I need to keep me in line. Baptized, her great-great-grandmother was baptized by Brother Kilgore. And I've heard the stories of how they'd load up on the wagons. I don't even know how to load up on a wagon. I'm off the wagon. And you could hear them coming because I heard that they were singing all the way to church. Where the mighty God is Jesus, the Prince of Peace is he. The everlasting Father, the King eternally, the wisdom of all texts, righteousness and power. Yeah, all we need is Jesus, and we find it every hour. Well, it's all in him. It's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead, it's all in him. It's all in him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Well, Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit which fills the universe, the Advocate, the High Priest, the Lamb for sinners slain, the Author of redemption, and glory to His name. Well, He's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Hallelujah. What an honor it has been to be here this week. What a mighty move of God we've had all week. I'm so thankful for the presence of God. I'm so thankful for His presence. I'm so thankful that He sends help our way. Come on. I felt Him all day. I was telling Brother Myers, I've been going through some medical issues. Got bad news at the doctor. I hate going to the doctor. So they can practice medicine on me. I mean, practice on somebody else. And I was praying last night, walking around the trailer, my dog watching me. I said, God, I need a manifestation from You that You got this, that everything's going to be all right. Now, I only know of one angel I've ever seen. It was in a human form, besides my wife. And I felt that presence standing behind me. When I tell you, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, it felt like electricity shaking me. When I walked in here, when I got up this morning, there it was. When I walked in here this morning, it was up here with me all morning. And faith began to rise in this place. I was so thankful for the manifestation of God. You see, I don't care what kind of trouble you're in, He's going to help you. He's going to send something to help you. He's going to send somebody, or He's going to come Himself. Romans 8, if you can just stay in Romans 8 for me. I feel like I need to preach and preach this, so. Romans 8, we're going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to work my way through a little bit. I won't be very long. Today was the longest I preached my testimony, so sorry. I was starving by the time I got done, I'm going to tell you. Paul buffeted his body, and I buffet mine. That's what's got me in all this medical problems. Now, Colonel Sanders about ruined me. I'm convinced when I get to heaven, the colonel's going to be sitting there with a bucket of chicken saying, come on in, son. And I'm going to look, and there's the rest of Mahaney's. They all got him a bucket of chicken. Original. Man. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And I want to preach on the separation of condemnation. Repeat it with me. The separation of condemnation. Father, I worship you. I magnify your name. Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I need you more than I've ever needed you before. At this moment, I need you to anoint me more than ever before. At this moment, I need you to touch my voice and touch my body and my mind, God. God, let me be fresh in the spirit with you, Jesus. Not because of me, God, but because of you. You see, it's all about you, Lord. If you'll help me to decrease, you'll increase in this place. Lord, I speak the word of faith right now. I feel faith in this building. I come against any sickness and infirmities. I come against fear and doubt and disbelief. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm asking that the gifts of the Spirit operate and you begin to move in this place, Lord. We come and we seek your face. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now, for those that were here this morning, I came to Jesus, and as I told my testimony, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, March of 2004. Now, this was the most monumental time in my life because for many years I had walked in the deepest, darkest depths of sin since the age of 17. And I came to him, a man who from all appearances, I looked beyond repair. But can I tell you, at the foot of the cross, Jesus Christ and his redemptive cleansing blood took a broken and marred vessel and he put me back together again. You see, in a moment, I was not only forgiven, but I was freed from the tyranny of sin. Bound for 21 years by drugs and alcohol, I was immediately a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I was set free from this life of brokenness and sorrow, and I now began walking down this glory road towards heaven. I want you to know that even though I was delivered, and even though I was set free, now came the process of my growth spiritually, which would greatly affect my physical world as well. You see, I didn't understand, and I had a hard time grasping how God could love and forgive a man like Nick Mahaney, who had done so many things wrong. Even though the old man had died in that drug rehab, the new man still carried all the memories. The memories that at times would break me down with tears of shame streaming down my face. You see, I was always the first one in the altar at church. When they said, the altar's open, you better move out of the way because Nick Mahaney was coming to the altar. And I would fall on my face, service after service, broken and ashamed of the man that I used to be. Night after night, I would lie awake crying and begging for forgiveness for the horrible things that I had done in my life that my mind would not let go of. You see, the enemy was not willing to accept defeat. So he was heaping condemnation upon me. And what I hadn't come to grips with yet was the price had already been paid. That not just me, but no one deserves God's mercy and his grace that was purchased with his crimson cash at Golgotha. Not just me and the horrible sins before me, but even the best person in the world would fall short of him. So night after night, in an attack against me, the devil was using condemnation as his weapon because he knew from eons of manipulation that if I ever realized who I really was, come on, if I ever realized who I really was and began crucifying this flesh and not walking in it, but walking in the spirit, that the real truth would come out. Come on, he was afraid that I would realize that I had power through the name of Jesus. And he knew that if I ever realized who I was, that I would no longer walk around in fear, but I would walk around in the dominion and power that was in me when I received the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. Evidenced by speaking in other tongues, the devil knew that he was going to have a major problem on his hands. So there was a war waging in my mind and in my conscience. This was a war with no holds barred. This was a war that was not of the flesh, but of the spirit, whose consequences would not be just death, but it would be spiritual death that would last all eternity. So every church service, even in the middle of the night, as I was being attacked in my mind, those old dirty feelings of unworthiness and shame would creep in and attack me. And with that came the struggles to overcome sin, because without realizing it, I was battling in my flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:3 already tells us, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You see, even though my walk in life is flesh, my battle was far more reaching. It was spiritual. In my flesh, in jails and barroom brawls, I had won many battles and fights and overcome men, and I'd usually come out the winner. There was a time or two. So this carnal mind of mine was thinking, "You can do this. You're a strong man. You can do this." When the word tells me I have to cast down every imagination in my mind, because I will think that I can do it on my own, and it tells me I have to bring every thought into captivity and obey Jesus Christ, then destroy all disobedience. And I want you to know, when you do that, God will step in and fight your battles, and he will destroy the strongholds in our lives. Now, I'm just going to tell you, very few days go by where in the middle of the day I don't reach up and go, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought." Come on. Come on, you got to learn. When stuff tries to creep in on you, what it's trying to do, it may look like it's unobtrusive. It may look like it's just minor, but what it's trying to do is get a foothold into your life. And when it does, it's going to destroy you. When I recognize anything like that, I say, "I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Get out of my mind. Get out of my house." Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." You see, it's telling us it's a death, not just a physical death. It's worse. It's a spiritual death, because my flesh is an enemy to God. I cannot please God in my flesh. That's why it's so important to pray and intercede by praying in tongues, where you are in a direct flow and conduit with God. Verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," what's the Spirit of Christ? Come on. Now, I'm just reading what it says. "And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, I have a hope. I have a promise that one of these days the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll and the trump of God is going to sound. And I want you to know I'm going to shake off this mortal body and I'm going to step into an immortal body. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. I want you to know I can't wait for that day. I look for that day. I long for that day. When I go and be with Jesus. Now I'm just going to throw something in here. The Bible says he's coming back for those that look for him. If you look for the Antichrist, that's who you're going to get. I'm looking for Jesus to come back. You can stay here during the tribulation if you want to. But I'm going up yonder to be with Jesus and Colonel Sanders. I'm just going to tell y'all. My Jesus is coming back, and he could come back tomorrow. He could come back tonight. You better get your garments ready in this place. Romans 8 and 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now I just adopted two kids, September 22nd. My grandchildren. I know I've lost my mind. 10 and 8. We've had them since they were 2 and 5. Oh, yeah, no wonder I got health problems. But when we left that courtroom, legally, I was no longer Papa. I told my granddaughter the other day, I said, Madison, you better listen to your grandfather. You better listen to your papa. She goes, well, legally, you're not my papa. She said, legally, you're my dad. I said, well, I'm about to legally tear your little hind end up if you don't listen to me. You see, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I quit living after the flesh. Let me simplify it. I quit doing what mattered to me. Not God, which is nothing but death. I was given life, and I am no longer that old sinful man, but I'm a son of God. You want to know what God looks like? Take a look at me. I'm made in his image. I'm his son. I have been adopted. He is my father because he loved me so much that he wanted to adopt me to make me his. Guess what? It gets better. I am a joint heir with him. Everything he has, I have. Come on. Everything he's about, I'm about. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Every step I take, guess what? Jesus is right there with me. Even when I stumble and those old thoughts of the flesh come rushing in, you know what I do? I get in the spirit and he reminds me, listen, you are my child. You are my son. You are my heir. You are a son of God. I'll be with you for I'll never forsake you even until the ends of the world. I don't have to live in bondage. I don't have to live with a spirit of fear. The price has been paid at Calvary. I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed. I have been bought by his blood. I am no longer an heir to fear and bondage, but I am an heir to him. Man, if that don't excite you, your pilot light's out. Do they even have pilot lights anymore? Romans 8 and 28. Now we love this scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to his purpose. You see, here's what it is. When I serve God, when I love him with everything that I have within me, it's not just some things, but all things. When it's going good, guess what? He's been working behind the scenes just for me. And when it's going so bad that I think I've been abandoned, he's still there working behind the scenes. Come on, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell somebody something. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say, yea, though I camp my tent in the valley of the shadow of death. It intends for you to keep on walking. When you're going through that trial, you can set up camp and you can begin to wallow in it and cry about it, and you'll never get out of that valley. But if you'll just keep on walking, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Come on, I've been in that valley of death. I lost my father in 2007, 2008. I lost my sister. 2009, I buried my grandchild that was 4 months old. You know what? I just kept on walking. Lord, I don't understand this, why it's happening over and over again, but I kept quoting this scripture. Yea, though I walk, I will refuse to camp out in this problem. I will refuse to camp out in this pain. Come on, you don't have to camp out in your distress. You don't have to camp out in your trouble. You can just keep on walking, because God is working good for those who serve him. Raised on evangelistic field. When I was a kid, you remember back in the 70s and 80s, just about every restaurant had a jukebox. Remember? Well, we'd walk in a restaurant, and it would be playing, and my dad would unplug it. You're cheating, haw. And everybody would turn around and look. He'd go, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Charles Mahaney. I'm an evangelist. I'm preaching a revival here in this city. My son Nick's going to sing, and I'm going to testify. Sing, boy. Time to sing, folks. It never stopped. I was 14 at Knott's Berry Farm. Oh, yeah. We were at a show, birds flying around, animals doing backflips, you know, everybody cheering and hollering in this big amphitheater. And they said, we'll be right back in 10 minutes after this intermission. I looked and I seen this big fat guy dressed in black. I said, dear God, please don't let that be my dad. They thought it was part of the show. Ladies and gentlemen. And I'm thinking, Lord, if you've ever heard me in my life. My name is Charles Mahaney. I'm an evangelist in this area. My son Nick's going to sing. I'm going to testify. Get up here and sing, boy. Oh, yeah. Some of y'all should have been with him. Raised on evangelistic field. I never found him for myself. I relied on what my family had. Drifting further and further. I look at that little boy shouting, that just warms me. Parents, you need to teach your children. They're not going to do something that you're not doing. Pastor was saying, let's dance before the Lord. You know what? We need to get out and dance before the Lord. I'm giving it all I got. When you see me doing this, that's my vertical. And that's about to pull a calf muscle when I'm doing that. I got on one of them steps to tell your fortune, and it said, one at a time, please. But we need to teach our children. Now, my dad wasn't a better father. I get broke up missing him. He loved his family unconditionally. I travel this country and I preach. And almost every place I go, the pastor says, man, your dad used to preach for us. And he'd say, pray for my son, Nikki. Pray for my son, Nikki. I started smoking weed when I was about 13. Off and on. I can remember my first addictive act. When I was about 8 or 9, I stole my uncle's Winston cigarettes. And at 8 or 9, that was about like smoking weed. It liked to kill me. But after that, every time I got a chance to try to smoke a cigarette, I would. And I tried alcohol, very young age. Now, we've been at motels before, and I found old bottles thrown out, and I would drink it. By the time I was 13, I was smoking weed. I did good for a couple years. And I didn't want to let my family down. I even tried to act like I was going to be a preacher. I preached one time, and it didn't do very well. And I knew I didn't have God. 17 years old, I turned my back on him. 18, I was addicted to crack cocaine. 19, addicted to methamphetamines. My 20s and 30s was nothing but a life of crime that I can't even imagine. So sometimes I go, who was that person? Dear God, how could have I done all those things? Reading tarot cards, worshiping the devil, having seances, went totally opposite of what I was raised up to be. In and out of jails, in and out of bars and fights and institutions. And I was an evil man, violent, very violent man. So they tried to put me away for the rest of my life, being a meth cook. Just things were out of control. If it was about God, I wanted to do the opposite. I came home one Christmas Eve. And my mother and father have a deck on their back of their house. And when I walked up, my mother was walking up and down the deck. You know, she's got one of those red Bibles. It's pink now. And the pages are like swollen. It's from tears hitting them. And she was crying. And I said, I thought something had happened. I said, Mom, what happened? She turned around and looked at me and said, I'm praying for you, son. Them demons inside of me. Without even realizing, I began to curse her. And I began to curse that house. And I walked out and I pointed out up to the sky and I began to curse God. I said, your God's powerless, so he wouldn't let me talk to him like this. You know what that little lady said? I refuse to believe that. My Bible says, train up a child. Come on. When he's young, when he gets old, he won't depart from this. March of 2004. Facing 40 to life in prison, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a drug rehab. So when I came to God, I came to him with a lot of baggage. You want to talk about somebody with baggage? You think I'm messed up now? You should have seen me then. Things that I had done and I had been a part of was always bringing me down. I mean, I'd been in church 6 months and they arrested me on something. You want to talk about embarrassed? Call your pastor and look, I can't get a hold of nobody. Where are you at? Well, I'm in jail. Because of the baggage. I would travel with my dad. And he would help me. You know, he's helping me overcome nicotine. He was helping me to overcome all this stuff. But you see, I couldn't do it with him. I had to do it with him. I was laying on my face at another service. Turning point in my life, crying, God, forgive me, oh God, I'm sinful. And I wasn't sinning. I was trying to live the best that I could. And I felt this hand on my, hand on my shoulder. I heard the voice of an elder. He said, boy, how many times are you going to crucify God over that and ask him for forgiveness? He's already forgave you. It's like somebody, you know that click? I got it. And it dawned on me. It's as far as the east is from the west. Now, if you go north, guess what? You're eventually going to go south. Thank God. You go south, you're eventually going to go north. But if you go west, you're always going west. You go east, you're always going east. And he said, it's as far as the east is from the west. He has thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. Come on, my life has been changed ever since then. I realize that at Calvary, he blotted out all those sins. And what I come to realization that day, Brother Myers, as I was laying there, I got up and I said, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Because he's forgot about it. I'm saying, God, forgive me for this. And he's looking at me going, you really are ignorant, aren't you? Because I don't even know what you're talking about, boy. Come on, it's as far as the east is from the west. Romans 8 and 31 says, what shall we then say to those things? God be for us. Who can be against us? Then I want to read you this scripture. This all right? Romans 8 and 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are made more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now follow me here, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to notice, as I read all this stuff, Paul mentions all of these things that can't separate us from him. The present can't separate us. The future can't separate us. He goes through all this stuff. He mentions everything except one thing. Did you notice it? The past. Because Paul knew after everything that he had done against God and the church that even Paul would sit there and dwell on his past, that it would separate him from Jesus Christ. Come on, this is the reason why I wanted us to shout for a moment. The Lord spoke to me, said, stop. Somebody is letting the devil plant these thoughts in times that you've fallen and telling you that you're not worthy and that you're undeserving. When Jesus says, yeah, you're not worthy, you're not undeserving, but I loved you enough to die on a cross for you. Come on, somebody is letting something they done in their past keep them from walking in the future with Jesus Christ. Come on, young person, you may have slipped, you may have messed up, you may have done something that you should have done. Don't let the devil say it's over for you. You stand up and say, I'm shaking off the past and I'm asking God to forgive me and I'm walking in the future with Jesus Christ. That's why people can't make it when they come to church. It's because they dwell on the past when the past is the past. It's gone. God wants you to quit dwelling on the past. God wants you to step into the future where there's peace, where there's love, where there's joy. Let's all stand as the musicians come. Do you remember this story? Abraham and Sarah was promised by God that their seed would number the stars of the sky, the sands of the sea. Well, this went on for years. And it got to where Abraham and Sarah was too old. But you see, God's promises are for real. They give up. Abraham goes into Sarah's handmaiden, her servant, Hagar. And they conceive, and she bears a child, and they name him Ishmael. Y'all remember this story? Well, guess what? Years later, God's promises don't die. And Abraham and Sarah have a child named Isaac. Remember the story? In that house lived Abraham, Sarah, Ishmael, and Isaac. Under the same roof lived the mistake, Ishmael, and the miracle, Isaac. The promises of God couldn't be fulfilled until the mistake was banished out of that house. And then they could walk in the miracle. Can I tell you, the mistake and the miracle can't live together. It's that simple. If there's something in your life tonight, and you know that it shouldn't be there, you don't need me to walk back and go, well, I see that you've been doing this, 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 and that, because I got enough stuff to keep up with me. But I refuse for my life to be predicated on a mistake in my house where I can't walk in the miracle. Come on, there's something that's, I'm telling you, this is in the Holy Ghost. Somebody, you've been dealing with stuff in your life and you cannot get past but a certain point. You have even said it out loud. Well, I can only get this far and then I can never get the rest of the way because you got a mistake and a miracle living in your same household. God wants to free you tonight. Come on, he wants you to take that Ishmael, that mistake, and he wants you to banish it out in the wilderness and get rid of it so you can walk in the miracles and the promises of God that he wants you to have in your life. Don't you let the devil tell you, well, you've done this, you're undeserving. No, that's a mistake. You get that out of your life and you walk in the miracle. Come on, don't let that flesh say, there's no way that you can make it. I failed many another time. That's the mistake speaking. Let the miracle speak out and walk in a newness of life. Come on, young people, the devil tries to heap condemnation upon you. Come on, elders, the devil tries to heap condemnation upon you because he knows that there's a separation that comes through condemnation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In the name of Jesus, Lord, speak to somebody's heart right now. By the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to begin to open up and speak to somebody's heart in this place that's struggling. Come on, I don't care if you look like you stepped out of the Pentecostal Herald. You can have a mistake living in your life that's keeping you held back from what God wants you to be. Come on, nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who would lift their hand and say, preacher, I got some things I need to banish out. Come on, lift your hand. That I'm ready to walk in the miracle. Now, I wanted you to hear me. I'm going to tell you this. I can come back and lay hands on you and pray for you. That's my faith. God wants to see your faith. Faith is taking action. You lifted your hands. I want you to come up to this platform right now. Come on. Unless you just want to stay right in that same old rut that you keep going back and forth in. Come on, young men. You may have done something that wasn't right, or a young lady. Don't let the devil say, man, that's a mistake. Don't you better let not nobody find out about that. Come on. Now, looking out here, I don't have enough people. But I wonder how many of you elders that are sitting here can come up and stand behind somebody. Come on. Come on, prayer warriors. It may take you a little bit longer, but we need our elders. We need the hand of elders upon our people. Come on, come on, saints. I wonder if you can find somebody. Stand behind them. Thank you. I thank God for the elders. I'm just going to be honest with you. I would have never made it without Brother Mark Foster, Brother Wayne Huntley, and Brother Gleason and my pastor. I would have never made it. Come on, find somebody. Here's what I want you to do. Put your hand on their shoulder. Come on. Put your hand on their shoulder. Come on. Let them know that you're there with them. That you don't have to walk through this by yourself. Oh, there's been some mistakes made. I've made them this week. But I banished them. I wouldn't let them live in my house. Come on, let that spirit move through here. Come on, it's moving right now. Come on. Come on, let it move through here. Come on. You don't need me to hype you up. Jesus is in this place. Come on, you don't need me to pump you up and make you shout, but Jesus is in this place. Come on, I wonder if we could begin to repent again. Come on, forgive me, Jesus. Come on, begin to speak it. Lord, forgive me of my sins, God. Come on, talk to him. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. I need you, Jesus. Come on, you feel that sovereign move of God right now? Come on, I'm just going to speak faith. By the authority of the Word of God, come on. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you're going to confirm your Word. I stand on your Word, God. You're going to confirm your Word, Lord. I stand on your Word. I speak faith into existence in this place. Come on, I give you, Lord, I give you the open the door for you to step in, Lord. Come on now, speak against your mistake. Come on. Speak against it. While somebody lays their hand upon you and begins to pray. Come on, speak against the mistake. Let the miracle come through this place. Come on, begin to intercede. That's it. Come on, let it move through this place. Come on, it's sweeping through. Come on. Come on, let it sweep through you, Lord. That's it, elders, pray for them. Come on, ladies, and come on, men. Come on, elders, find somebody else. Begin to pray for them. Come on, begin to pray. There's something about the hands of an elder. There's something about the hands of a strong warrior that's been through many battles.
You take our weakness. You set your treasure.
Don't let it end. Come on. Entertain this presence. Come on. This is where your life will be changed. This is where next week you'll look back as you're going through a trial. You'll draw from this.
The world to see your light in me.
Let him praise, let him fill you, let him renew you. Come on, there's healing angels in this place.
Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes.
Come on, it's here for you. This service is just for you. Come on, banish that mistake, get rid of it. let the miracle into your life. Come on, that's it. Let the miracle come. Here it is. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, Paris Pentecostal Church. Let your voice begin to shout to God.
I once was lost.